During my formative years, separation based on race was the norm. It was so ubiquitous in my world that it was hard to envision anything else. However, just as my ancestors and the slaves did before us, whenever we did talk of things being different and better, we usually talked about going up north. Dreaming of traveling to the northern section of the United States always seemed to soothe any feelings of depression that Blacks may have felt as a result of their marginal existence in the South. It was more than just a destination. Going up north represented a dream of a new beginning of equality and prosperity. Therefore, when I was offered the chance to attend either a New Homemakers of America student convention in Virginia or an American Junior Red Cross camping trip to Wisconsin, my immediate response was, I want to go up north. While in high school, I was a volunteer and president of the local American Junior Red Cross chapter that represented the five Black high schools in Memphis. Along with spending my time during the summer months doing general duties at the American Red Cross main office, as president, I was also responsible for supervising the preparation of care boxes that were sent to soldiers of the Korean War. Sometimes the work was long, but I enjoyed the fellowship of the students from other Black schools. Besides, I like imagining our packages being shipped to the other side of the world and the expressions on the soldiers' faces as they opened a box for Memphis. During one particular long day, Virginia Broom, who was our Red Cross supervisor, called me into her office and asked me to sit down. The whole formal approach made me nervous, and I began searching her face for clues of what I thought would be my impending demise. Miss Broom, who was white, was very considerate and passionate about helping others. She began to tell me how impressed she was with my work and diligence, but I started mentally preparing myself for the disappointment, waiting to hear, "We like you and your work, but..." However, she told me something that my ears could not comprehend. "Ernestine, you have been selected to attend the Midwestern Summer Camp of the American Junior Red Cross." I couldn't believe it. Part of me was frozen in disbelief, and the other part was ecstatic, jumping up and down with joy. I was going up north. All of my life, until I was 16, I had only traveled in Western Tennessee and Arkansas. But in the summer of 1954, I boarded a train headed for Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Since this was the first time that I had traveled by myself, I became nervous as the train slowly pulled away from the station, watching my family on the platform disappear from view. However, my apprehension soon began to melt away as my eyes focused on the changing terrain. Looking out the window, my thoughts raced along with the click-clack sound of the train tracks, and I viewed the scenery as it metamorphosed from the familiarity of the South into a landscape awash with new images. Every time the conductor called out the name of a new town, Fulton, Centralia, Champaign, my heart quickened as I scanned my surroundings. The air was becoming more crisp, leaving behind the humid haze. Even the grass seemed greener. I was being pulled away from the South and slipping into a new world. Upon my arrival in Wisconsin, it was clear that I was no longer in the South. Of course, there were grass and trees and buildings, and the clouds still floated above me in the sky, but there were hardly any Black people. I stood in awe as boys and girls scrambled to gather their belongings and load buses used to transport us to the campsite. In a sea of white teenagers and adult chaperones, there I was. Lining up for the bus, there was no white-only line, and once on the bus, no one seemed aware or even cared that I was sitting at the front of the bus. I was truly up north. The campsite was situated in the Wisconsin Dells, a famous tourist destination along the banks of the Wisconsin River. And I was mesmerized as we drove past rolling hills of green carpet, through clumps of dense forest, and over streams that were lined with sandstone formations, which seemed to be standing guard awaiting our arrival. The campsite was like nothing that I'd ever seen. It consisted of large tents, and the foundation of each tent was a wooden floor that was elevated above the ground. Once I stepped inside, I was greeted by a roomy and clean interior with a cot, desk, and wardrobe stand occupying each corner. But my biggest surprise was that my three roommates, who were busily unpacking, were white. My body immediately felt like it had congealed into a frozen block of ice as the stark contrast of my reality hit me like an arctic blast. Up until 2 days ago, I had been forced to live my entire life in segregation. I had never gone to the zoo on the same day with white people, eating at a lunch counter with white people, or even sat in the same area with white people during a movie. Now I was living in the same room with three white girls. Regaining my composure, I slowly looked around, and instinctively, I cautiously awaited for something or someone to come bursting into the tent to stop me and redirect me to the other section. Then, as one of the girls approached me, I thought to myself, here it comes, get ready. Hi, I'm Hazel. I was stunned. She was smiling at me. In fact, she was very friendly. Before I could respond, Hazel stretched out her hand toward me. With a lump starting to form in my throat, I shook her hand and softly spoke, "Hi, I'm Ernestine." "This is Dorothy and Caroline," said Hazel, pointing to the other two girls. "We're all from Michigan and came here last year, so if you have any questions, just let us know. We could probably tell you everything. Anyway, where are you from?" When I told them that I was from Memphis, they immediately began to ask me questions about the South. They had never met anyone from the South, and they wanted to know how hot it got in Memphis and how long was my trip. And that was that. Within a few minutes, I felt like we were just a group of four teenage girls. No cautious or disapproving looks, no black versus white, no colored not allowed signs, no prejudice, just four normal, chatty teenagers with no regard for the color of our skin.